collaboration with
Koji Noida in Japan. Okay, so this is the outline
of today's talk. So first, I'd like to review again about the general probabilistic theories which are today by many people already explained essentially, but our approach is rather traditional, and so maybe it's good to know that old-fashioned way. And also I have to talk about again motivations, which again overlap many things, which starts from Giulio's nice introduction. But maybe I will talk something which are not yet pointed out. And also as a goal of this work, and actually we focus on very basic principle. First one is the symmetricity of the state space, and especially we give some another view of for this symmetricity by introducing the physical equivalence states. And another principle is decomposability with respect to the distinguishing pure state. And we investigate how these each principles classified. So our goal is to see each principle or fewer principles than others how GPTs with fewer physical principles looks like. And finally, let me talk something which I don't know personally, maybe, which means that I'd like to discuss with many of you during this talk. Okay, so let me go to the review of general probabilistic theories. And actually, this is has a rather long history, maybe starting from Mackay's work. But also, I like to point out Professor Araki in Japan also has constructed the similar things in 1961. And many people maybe not written here, and including people here. But anyway, it means that it provides you the operationally most general framework for probability theory. And the basic structure here is simple, that given a state performs some measurement, and then we have some physical rule to get the probability to obtain some output. And indeed, to construct a general theory, we still need a transformation or dynamics or composition of systems or measurement process and so on. But in this talk, we only consider this simple structure, but we can still play many games for this simple structure. And I'd like to clear what we assume. First, we assume that we can operationally prepare states by probabilistic mixture. And also, we assume that separation postulates, And the first assumption means that for any state low one and low two, and probability p, we have some state depending on this as a preparation of low one with probability p and low two with probability one minus p, such that the probability under this state, by performing a measurement, satisfies this affine property due to the definition of conditional probability and the sum rule of probability. And the next assumption is also a natural one, a separation postulate for state means that we identify state row 1 and row 2 if it has completely the same physical properties, and in our case, that for any measurement, the statistical properties are the same under this one. Then we naturally identify these states, and actually it is usually the definition of a state. Also, we identify measurement when they have the same statistical properties under any state. And then we have a nice mathematical representation by considering states or measurement as a fine functional through the probability. And concretely speaking, state space is embedded into some convex subset in a real vector space such that the probability mixture of state corresponds to the convex combination. And also measurement is represented by the so-called effects. Here effect is a fine functional on the state space to the interval between 0 to 1. And in this talk, I just talk about the measurement with the finite numbers of discrete outcomes, but if you want to include a continuous case or a general case, you can just assume the probability space for each measurement, and then similar things can be formalized. But now we assume that there are n numbers of measurement outcomes, then measurement is described represented by n tuples of effects, such that the sum of effects equals unit effect, which always takes 1 under any state. And the EI of law means that the probability to obtain ith output under state law. And also, we usually assume the natural topology, which is called the physical topology, measured by probabilities. Intuitively, we think that the two states are close enough if they have the similar close probability distribution under any measurement. And then mathematically, it is the weakest topology such that all the effects are continuous on the state space. And then we can show that the state space is embedded into a pre-compact convex subset in a locally convex Hausdorff topological vector space. And actually, without loss of generality, we can also assume compactness because we have always the same finite precision, and then compactness can be assumed. So usually people say quantum mechanics is a theory of Hilbert space and it's a linear operator theory, but in general setting, we can say that it is a theory of convex set and a fine function. And especially if the affine dimension of the state space is finite, then because there is a unique topology of Euclid space, so we can assume that the state space is compact convex subset in Euclidean space with the Euclid topology. So anyway, for any compact convex subset, you can consider its corresponding general probabilities models. And in this talk, I assume that the state space has a finite dimension, but many of the results follows even in infinite dimensional case. And pure states, the states which cannot be prepared by probabilistic mixture of different states, and mathematically it corresponds to the extreme points of pure state space.
And these examples of
general probabilistic theories, first is a finite classical probability theory with d numbers of sample space. So the state space is just a set of the probability distributions. So geometrically, it is nothing but a simplex with a fine dimension, d minus 1, with d numbers of pure states.
And also, a typical example is quantum theory.
And this, so it is, the state space is a set of the density operator on some Hilbert space. And we know that two-level system, the state space is has a structure of a ball called Bloch vector. But for higher dimensional cases, it is a bit complicated.
And another non-trivial but easiest example is a
hypercuboid system with a state space of this cube. And actually, this is just a toy model, but let me introduce that this model is physically realizable by the following simple model. So first consider the D-bit classical model.
So the
it is just a classical one,
but with some reasons you can allow you are allowed to measure one of the bits among d bits, and then from this restriction of measurement, many states are you cannot distinguish many states, and so we have to identify such undistinguishable states, and then we have some another state space, and you can easily show that. Such kind of restriction of one-bit measurement gives you a hypercuboid system. And this is a concrete example of the Horrebow's general theorem, that any general probability theory with a compact convex state space can be realized by some classical system with an appropriate restriction of measurements. Okay, so
now many people are trying to construct the information theory based on this general theory, the probability theory. And actually, one of the founders of the information theory, Shannon, wanted to found an abstract information theory which does not depend on concrete physical realization. But actually, he implicitly assumed some of the classical notions, so that's why we have a quantum information theory. But still, we assume concrete theory, physical theory of quantum mechanics. So it is natural to consider the most abstract information theory, which are based on the general probability theories. And the motivation to consider these theories, we have several motivations. And first of all, we want to have physical principles to obtain quantum theory. In terms of physical principles, or especially with the information languages, and this topic is talked by many people today, but let me tell you a little bit different view of this project. So when I was a student, I read a book written by Japanese physicist Takabayashi. He wrote that quantum mechanics is in many sense weird, and one of the weirdness is that the trinity of reality and mathematics and experimental facts are broken, while this trinity holds perfectly in any classical theory. But you know that reality is very difficult to think in quantum mechanics, because we know the Bell's type argument or Cohen-Schumacher's type argument. But it does still we can ask whether mathematics and experimental facts can be fusioned. And actually, the seek for the physical principle for quantum mechanics can be considered as this fusion of mathematics with respective experiments. And actually, this is really nice because, for instance, physical principle is in principle can be checked by experience. So many weird features of quantum theory, like superposition or uncertainty relation and entanglement, are logically derived by experimentally confirmed facts. And that's really nice. But we have another motivation that to consider physical principle or this kind of information theory, we understand the logical connection between or amongst physical principles or between information processing and so on. So this deepens our knowledge about physics and information processing and so on. And also some of people, many people here are trying to find unconditionally secure key distribution, for instance, not resort to quantum theory. And also, as I mentioned, that all the general probability theory can be realized by classical theory with some suitable measurement restriction. So we can consider these things not as just a toy, but practical motivations. And especially for these another motivations, and for the first motivations, as we had many topics today, there are many progress recently, starting by Professor Hardy and Dakis and Bruckner, Masanes Mura, and Julio, Professor Dariano's group, and Paolo. So in some sense, the first goal is achieved. But still, for considering another motivation, it is still interesting to consider general probability theories by assuming a few assumptions of physical principles. So today's talk is we assume consider natural physical principles, and the first one is the physical equivalence of pure state, which I explain in next slide, which turns out to be equivalent to the symmetricity introduced by Davis, or reversible connections of pure states, which are assumed by many people, including this today's talk. And the second one is the decomposability assumption with respect to distinguished pure states. And we want to classify GPTs for each principle. And this most of our the results are based on our recent papers here. Okay, and also I just added this page a while ago, but we have many things, maybe many things implicitly assumed. So for instance, we assume the existence of the objective world because we talk about the operation, preparation of states or measurement and so on. That means that in some sense we assume the classical world which is similar to the Copenhagen's interpretation. And also, we assume, implicitly assume causality, which Professor Dariano's group explicitly assumed. And also, all the mathematically well-defined measurements are physically realizable, which is also assumed by previous talks by Müller and Sarnes. Okay. Okay, so especially for the first implicit assumption, because of the first implicit assumption, I think we would like to survive both classical and quantum theory with this reason. Okay, so let me go to the first principle, which I call the symmetricity of state space, and maybe to the best of my knowledge, it is the first assumed considered by Davis in 1974, assuming that group of affine bijection of state space acts transitively on the set of extreme points, and which can be physically interpreted that any pure states are connected by reversible transformations, which are assumed or derived many people, including Hardy's, Professor Hardy's, and actually all of the talks today. But I would like to give a little bit different look at of these principles by introducing the physical equivalence of states, and our principle is that any pure states are physically equivalent, meaning that there are no special pure states. Actually, for instance, recalling the classical mechanics or quantum theory, it seems that there are no special structure in the pure state, and so I'd like to define operationally what we exactly mean by the physical equivalence. So we want to mean that state S1 and S2 have physically the same properties if for any measurement E1 there uniquely exists a corresponding measurement of E2 such that probability distribution of E1 under state S1 equals to the probability distribution of E2 under S2. And then we can say that the states have the same physical properties through the language of measurement. And also, we need that the correspondence of the measurement should preserve the probabilistic mixture of measurements, because we can operationally perform measurement by probabilistic mixtures. And then we are led to formally define the following physical equivalence of state. We say that state S1 and S2 are physically equivalent if there exists unit preserving affine bijection on effect such that for any effect, E of state S1 equals lambda E of S2. And it is easy to see that this actually is a mathematically an equivalence relation, and in quantum mechanics, it is a unitary equivalence. Sorry? No, actually, in quantum theory, the group of affine bijection can be unitary and anti-unitary, but for this equivalence, we can just find unitary operator which connects them. So between two states, you can always find unitary. And with some lemmas, we can show that state equivalence, state S1 and S2 are physically equivalent if and only if there exists a affine bijection on state space such that S1 is connected to S2. So from this, we understand that the principle which to say that pure states are connected, reversibly connected by transformation, is equivalent to say that any pure states are physically equivalent. But following Davis, we call GP general product theories which satisfy these principles symmetric GPT. And now I'd like to see what kind of general product theories survive assuming only these symmetric assumptions. And then, first, it is easy, relatively easy, by considering finite numbers of extreme points as a case of finite numbers of extreme points. So the case where state space is some convex polytope, and then we can show that state space of symmetric GPT is one of the isogonal figures like this. Isogonal figure means that all the vertices are rotationally connected in Euclidean space. And the case for the infinite numbers of extreme points is a bit difficult, but if we restrict to dimension, we can have some classification. So for two-dimensional cases, here the dimension is a finite dimension of the state space. The GPT with infinite numbers of pure state is only a disk. And in three-dimensional cases, the GPT with infinite numbers of pure state is either ball or circular cylinder. And actually, this is similar to the result by those people who talk today. But we don't assume the number of the distinguishable pure state to 2, but still we can obtain this ball structure from the only symmetric conditions. And our idea, mathematical idea, is also a bit different. We first assume, we first show that in the infinite numbers of pure cases, the group of the affine bijection has an infinite order, which is mathematically really non-trivial. And then the transitively generate the pure states, and then we can say that there are dense set of pure states exist, and because of the compactness, we can show that these are disk or ball or cylinder. And okay. And considering the three-dimensional cases, we have these GPT for the symmetric from the only symmetric assumptions. And first one is the classical system, and final one is quantum systems with Bloch ball. So for the purpose to obtain classical and quantum systems, we still needs to kill this redundancy. And for this purpose, we can use another principle of decomposability with respect to distinguishable pure states. And actually, this is also used or derived by many groups, but which says that any state have can be, there exists a set of distinguishable pure states such that the state is a convex combination of them. And physically, this means that any state can be prepared as an ensemble of distinguishable pure states. And in quantum mechanics, this corresponds to the eigenvalue decomposition of this operator. But actually, we can have some weaker assumptions. to say that state space is generated reversibly by the classical systems. So to explain this, imagine that you have a state space of some general probabilistic theories, and then this principle tells you that we have classical systems in the state space, and any state can be reversibly obtained by some reversible transformation. And then it is easy to show that this piece assumptions provide you the decomposability assumptions. But anyway, next I would like to obtain classification theorem for these principles, P2 or maybe P3. And again, the case of with the finite numbers of pure states is simple, and we have that GPT with this or P3 is is only simplex. So we can kill all of these isogonal figures. And also, in the case of dimension 3, circular cylinder does not satisfy this principle. So we obtain that in the three-dimensional symmetric GPT with this or P3 principle is either classical or quantum. Yes. Why? Sorry. This is not so trivial. We mathematically proved, but maybe we can explain. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'd like to conclude my talk with different topics which just I don't want to know and I'd like to discuss. And which is the things which is related to our result is that we don't have yet the complete classification for symmetricity or P2 principle in any dimensional case. And another thing I don't know or I want to discuss is that first, as Professor Hardy already pointed out, we still need to obtain quantum mechanics with infinite dimension or quantum field theory with infinite numbers of degrees. And actually, our approach can be used to describe infinite dimensional cases, but I have many troubles. For instance, there appears many non-trivial topologies and many things. And but this is just a technical and maybe next step. I want to discuss about the soundness of the operational approach. Actually, we know that the operational approach is very powerful and maybe very sound, but there are many things I don't still understand. For instance, we identify states if there are no physical difference between measurements, and then we can use the notion of affinity or linearity of transformation or effects and so on, because we use state preparation of probabilistic mixtures, but sometimes this can be a problematic, and this happens even in quantum mechanics, quantum information theory. For instance, sometimes I see the papers which states that which asks about the whether or not complete positivity is universal by considering the initial correlations. And actually, if you consider the system which have some correlation between some another object which are interacting with each other, then you cannot directly use time evolution map which are affine. So I'm not sure whether this kind of problem, for instance, especially about the measurement problem and so on, can be described by this operational approach. And also, whether I'm not sure whether we can say something about the interpretation of quantum theory with this approach. For instance, as I told you, that we implicitly assume that we existence of the classical world, it means that we first of all give up the discussion of the Schrödinger's cat-like paradox, and but still I would like to see some message from these operational approach or project of the obtaining quantum mechanics by physical principles. Okay, so that's all. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments?
So I hope it's not just because my attention slipped, but I was wondering, what is the group action on the cylinder that's transitive on?
A group action of...
Ah, never mind. I got it. It's not the boundary. It's the extremal points. Thanks.
Any other brief comments or questions?
So you showed P2 and P3. So P2 is that you can decompose any state on pure distinguishable state. This is what I didn't get right for the cylinder. So on pure. And the other at P3 is that all sets of distinguishable states are connected by reversible transformations. Is it right? So that you can generate all the pure states by rotating a classical symphony.
If you assume that, then we can...
Sure. So the question is, do you have an idea of condition under which you can get 3 from 2? So, of course, 3 is more powerful, but can you add something to get 3 from 2?
That's a good question. But, for instance, I don't assume anything about the numbers of the maximal numbers of distinguishable pure states and so on. So I still felt some difficulty to go that direction, but maybe so now I don't have an idea. Yeah.
Like the subspace or compression, this kind of results may turn it into equivalence. Okay, thanks.
Any more questions? Okay, well, if there are no more questions, let's thank Gain again and all the others.